August the 20th, 2020. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Mirage Speak, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic is El-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.com archives and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So we will open with a short dua, and then we have a special announcement before going into our subject this evening. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Sister Claire Muhammad pioneered Islamic education in the U.S. We are asking for donations to build this institution. So far, we have raised $5,425, and we need an additional $100,000 to begin this project. You can go to fundraiser.com to make your donation, created by Friends of Imam Darnell Kareem. Also, you can purchase his book on Sister Claire Muhammad to help this project. We need your help, please. We're asking the believers to make a donation to this worthy project that the Imam is trying to build to assist the assistant to Imam W.D. Muhammad in Islamic studies and childhood friend. He has been a practicing member of the Muslim community for over 74 years. As Imam Darnell Kareem, he's heading up the project. So please go and make a donation to this worthy project. So we will continue where we left off yesterday. The Quran sent because your mind is terribly limited and that life is too big for you. Don't let your own mind cause you to doubt what God has said and cause you to go astray or do something different from what God has established. Follow Prophet Muhammad's prayers and the peace be upon him. Obey and believe in him. Know that your mind is terribly limited and that life is too big for you. You need the divine word of God. And you need a man that God accepted as a guide for you to follow. That man is Prophet Muhammad. We know that's from life takes, whether it is religious, business, cultural, or political, there is a content for it. Everything must exist within some content, within some boundary. We don't live or think any and everywhere. All of our activities are limited to certain boundaries. So knowledge content for everything is the identity. God says that he has made for everything a knowledge context to give it a boundary and to give it an identity. When you leave that knowledge content, you come out of your boundaries and out of your identity. Unless we see and understand this, We are in the dark. Knowledge of our own situation and what is required of us in that situation is the light for us. Without that knowledge, we are in the dark. A person may call himself a Muslim and live in a knowledge context that is not Muslim. And though he call himself a Muslim, does not make him one. There must be a knowledge context because it is within that context, that life, that of a thing we identify with is protected. It is Muslim knowledge that makes a person a Muslim. So we are not supposed to have everybody in our little group under one person. In fact, you can't progress in such a situation. Any leader, imam or amqa, representative that will cooperate with people, keeping the Muslim confined to one place and under one leader, are enslaved or infiltrators. They are working with the people who are trying to keep the little man from growing. A situation such as that is not of our religion. Al-Islam is not a religion of containment. It is not designed to hold people in a prison. Prison house within, you carry within, a condition of enslavement, confinement, that limits your freedom. So there is a prophet called Yusuf in the Quran and Joseph in the Bible. As a child, he was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Now, what is Scripture telling us in this story of Joseph? It is saying that there is something that may prevail as a condition which amounts to enslavement or confinement. So this condition is a prison. Systems of knowledge. The Quran Surah 1, Ayah 2, Lord of all the worlds, systems of knowledge. The Quran Surah 40, Ayah 7, Allah encompasses everything in knowledge. The system of knowledge is everything that exists. Wasakuli shalin ilmin. Everything has been encompassed in knowledge. Kula shalin, sha'ilin. That means that there is no single thing in the universe that doesn't have a knowledge text. It has a knowledge text, and its knowledge text is systems of knowledge. Yes, its knowledge text is its system of knowledge. The knowledge text of the human being is a science of the human being makeup for his human body. For a bird is different. For wheat grain is different. For everything is different, right? For every single thing is different. The Quran Surah 41, Ayat 53, signs in the heavens and in self. The Quran Surah 7, Ayat 89, reaches to recesses with his knowledge. So everything has its knowledge text, and God bless science to find that knowledge text. We say find what God says on the material side, in the material side, but they don't find what God says and to see how God made all of that, to read something to man that he relates to his own creation. And everything in the heavens and the earth, they are signs as well as in yourself. So this makes this microphone, to know what this mic is, you have to go to the scientist who invented this. Right? And the inventor will tell you how this mic operates. He will give you the science, the knowledge, body for this thing you call a mic. Everything that exists has its knowledge text, That's what Allah means when he says, Washa, washa, kuli, sherlin, ilma, ilman. And in another place he says, ilman wa rahmat, knowledge and mercy. Why? Because when you get the knowledge, the utility, that God's mercy is to you. So washa kuli sherlin, ilman, wa rahmat. The Quran, Surah 12, Ayah 76, over all and one endowed with knowledge. The Quran, Surah 30, Ayah 56, those endued with knowledge. Now, Lord of the systems of knowledge, where do we go directly to see what it's addressing? The planet, the universe, the stars that make up this universe. Each one is a body of knowledge and a universal system of knowledge. But each one has its own separate body of knowledge in the universal system of knowledge. So if you study Mars, you get a different body of knowledge than you get out of the study of Mercury. You study Earth and you get a different body of knowledge. So each body has its own individuality in terms of its composition, its makeup, and its situation in the universe. So therefore, it has its own text. Each one has its own text. And inside the sphere of each one of these, there are many things. And every sealed thing has its knowledge body in its text. Systems of knowledge, God guided me to that. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, mercy, knowledge over all things. This world that God made is bigger than us. We can't manage this big world. God created it without God's help. Ask what God wants us to know, that this big world of sky and earth is too big for man to handle by yourself. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, knowledge, mercy, overreaches all things. So Muslim 65:18, education, seek Allah, makes path easy. So knowledge, purpose to bring relief. Now, what is all this to say to us about knowledge and mercy? You can be cruel with knowledge. With knowledge, you can do cruel things. But God didn't intend knowledge to be used that way. The knowledge is to be used to bring relief to the society, to the human family. And you can be cruel with kindness, but God intended that our kindness be sincere, our kindness be unselfishness, our kindness be in accord with the will of God, who is all good and does not accept any bad or any wrong. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, surely God is good and does not accept any wrong or any bad. And to give more support to that description, God as a God of all good, God says to us in the Quran, do not put into your charity that would shame you if it was disclosed to the people where you got it from. So God is good and God does not accept no bad thing, no wrong thing. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, Allah reaches over all in mercy and knowledge. Now, can you see the resemblance for Islam focus on the beginning of man and the Genesis focus on the beginning of man? So what did he say of the Khalifa? He said he's making subservience. He's making useful and making yield its usefulness. Not just useful, but it's going to yield its usefulness. He made things in the sky and on the earth to yield It is usefulness, yield their usefulness to the human person that will accept the responsibility that God created the human person for. So that's the Khalifa. If we accept the responsibility that God created you for, he says that he is going to make everything you see in this world serve you, serve your mind for the benefit of your society. So mercy have come from knowledge and science. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, that he has intended everything so that it will have science, ilma, knowledge and science, wa rahma, and mercy. The greatest mercy have come from knowledge and science. These clothing that we are, they are a mercy, especially in Chicago in the month of December. These clothing are a mercy, but even if it was warm weather, I would wear thinner clothes. And the thin garments in the warm weather is mercy because I would like to just take off everything and be as cool as I can be. But the mercy of God through revelation and enlightenment, divine enlightenment, has made me ashamed to just go naked when he put a monkey in clothing. Education, a requirement in religion. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayat 7, Allah reaches over all in knowledge and mercy. The Quran, Surah 96, Ayat 1, read with the name of your Lord. Meskis, page 1, 136 and 218, education, obligation on every Muslim. Egyptian leaders visited from the Department of Religion. So when I became leader, I had a visitor from Egypt. He came from the government, but a religious person sent from the religious department, and first thing he said to me was, "You know, I'm acquainted with your brother Akbar. Akbar was educated by them at Al-Azhar University, the most popular, the most famous university in the Islamic world, by popular opinion in Islamic worlds." So he said, "I know your brother Akbar, and in fact, I talked to him, and we know of you, but we don't know you too well." I said, "Yes, that's true." He said, "If we have a choice, we'd like to pick the one who is educated. But if we don't have that choice, we would pick the one who's good." Yes, that's what he told me, Dr. Ibrahim from Egypt. So I'm agreeing with him. Education is the number one priority in Al-Islam. Respect for knowledge is part of propagation of Al-Islam. So this is an important part of preaching of Al-Islam, or spreading Al-Islam, to make the people aware of the importance of knowledge and to have them speak knowledge, expect knowledge, pardon me. God says to us in our holy book, and Darnell, you know Arabic too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "He has tied everything together and has incorporated everything, the whole universe, upon knowledge and mercy." So it means that everything has its inner content of knowledge and mercy. So when I'm speaking using the microphone, this invention of modern science, modern technology, I'm using it to carry the voice of the PA system for the broadcast. But you can study the microphone, and it has its own knowledge. When you study the mic, you are studying the knowledge of it and the PA system, right? So that goes for everything. It is a mosquito. It has mosquito knowledge. So Judge Law should have knowledge and mercy. Science will study the mosquito and give you the science of his life so you will understand how he lives, why he wants blood, and how he flies and everything. So God said this is, God said this to us 1,400 years ago, long before modern science and technology. God said this to us. He told us that through Muhammad prophet, through Muhammad the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, he told all of the humanity that everything is contained in the contents of science, knowledge, and mercy. So that's to tell the wise judge, don't just go upon your knowledge, but respect your human heart and know when mercy is to be ruled, so that for everything you know, knowledge and mercy, death a mercy. So we find that even death is a mercy. Most people see death as if it's frightening to think of it and say, oh, I'm going to die, and my child is going to die. Yes, we are all going to die. But God has created death too as a mercy. So read with the name of your Lord. So knowledge is priority, number one priority. Education, then it is our responsibility. And you know, the first word revealed to Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, 1,400 years ago was read. The first word of revelation to him was read, Iqra. It is the Arabic Quranic term. He said to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, read in the name of your Lord who created. And you know all of that. Education first tells student God is responsible. The Quran Surah 40, Ayah 7, knowledge, mercy overreaches all things. So before you tell a child anything about education, you should tell a child without the creation matter that you see, the sky and the earth and our bodies and animals created by a power we don't know and can't conquer. We would not have anything to teach you in this school. That's what they should tell them first. Then they would be educating children and educating people who will have it straight and who will be free to make much more of their lives than what they are making of their lives today. Because you can have a PhD. You can have many PhDs. And you can fall down to the lowest of the low. Drugs, liquor, lust for the things of this world can bring that PhD down to the lowest of the low. Disappointment, something being attached himself to, or she attached herself to disappoint, that disappoints you, fall down sometimes to the lowest of the low. But if they would introduce education correctly, begin with God that made the world out of which all knowledge comes. He has extended everything and encompassed everything, connects everything, pardon me. He extended things, expands everything, and connects everything upon knowledge and mercy. So what is God telling us? Telling us everything created has knowledge to offer you, and everything created has a mercy to offer you. Doesn't civilization, the growth of education for society, bring not only knowledge, but also a more compassionate world to live in, a more comfortable and more merciful world to live in? So God has said that by way of revelation to Muhammad, the prophet prayers and the peace be upon him. So knowledge, science, mercy in the whole universe. The Quran Surah 40, Ayah 7, Allah over all things in mercy and in knowledge. So you mentioned something very important. Our whole religion is education. Not only that, the whole universe. Everything in the sky and in the earth is education. God says, "Wasi akuli shared in rahmatin wa ilman." Wasi akuli shared in rahmatin wa ilman. everything that exists that God made is there to give us knowledge, science, and mercy. That's what God says. So education compulsory started with Muhammad. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayat 7, Allah reaches over all in mercy and knowledge. The Quran, Surah 96, Ayat 1, education compulsory started with Muhammad. Manual Hadith 39:15, obligation every Muslim. God says in the Quran, Rabbana wasiya attaku lasharin rahmatin wa ilman. That is everything that and extends itself, multiplies itself, etc., with knowledge and mercy. Everything God has created will extend to man if he obeys God, if he respects God, not only knowledge and science, but also mercy. So we know that with the Quran coming in the world, science will revive. The intellect was reawakened and science began to flourish again in the communities of mankind. So this is a reality. This is a fact of history, not a myth. Not a religious claim only, but a fact of history. But where was the destiny for the people of the book? It was lost until the Quran came to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. And Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, preaching the word of God, awakened the intellect of man and excited the interest in the material universe for positive and good benefits. And they became the new generation of scientists. And who led it? The Muslim followers of Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. So think about that now. What is missing in this message of Al-Islam today? Why don't we have that kind of presence in the world of science today? We are getting it slowly, but not only us. Hindus are getting it. Chinese, many others, the Russians we know, but many others are engaged in the work of scientific research and etc. And they are contributing. The universe is not for white folks. The universe is not for white folks. The universe is not for yellow people. The universe is for all people. And if you don't block the way, you will have all people making their contributions to science and to the society of mankind so that we have conveniences. And when you have conveniences, you also have mercy. So when God says that he has incorporated all things, that he has caused all things to be extended to us, with knowledge and mercy, he is saying to us, if you want a more merciful society, you want a more merciful human life on this earth, pursue God's creation for its knowledge and its science. And then when you get it, you will bring comfort. Look what came, replaced the donkey and the horse, Mercedes-Benz and all the other cars. I didn't forget America, General Motors. But you African Americans, when I come in your neighborhood, I say your neighborhood, I'm you, but I say your neighborhood. So when I'm driving around in your neighborhood, I see more Mercedes-Benz than I see anything anywhere else. You poor African Americans, I'm talking about you. I pull up in a parking lot just 2 days ago. A Mercedes-Benz on my left and one on my right. I said, good God Almighty, it must be a black neighborhood. Every citizen has to be educated, both male and female. So it took centuries for us to come to that civilized position that all human beings are entitled to the knowledge that God made possible when he created the world. If we had that kind of recognition and that kind of willingness, see, to give knowledge like that, and to point to the truth and share the science with everybody and excite the minds of everybody, poor as well as rich, to get the benefit that God has given to you in this created material world. So when you do that, you put yourself in position then to be replaced by somebody else. And those who want to have power and authority, they don't want to ever have a situation where somebody can rise up as high as they are and replace them. Well, I insist that the Muslim American society be against that, and you take down from position of authority all big-headed Negroes that went, cool it, I'm not excited, all big-headed Negroes that want to control your life and decide how much of what this is, whether how much of this or this that you're going to get. Nobody but God should decide how much you get. If I qualify to get more money, you shouldn't stay in my way. If I qualify to get more recognition as a teacher of Islam, you shouldn't stay in my way. If I qualify to get a high position in the military, you shouldn't be in my way. If I qualify, you should believe in freedom, justice, and equality. It's not available to everybody just because they want it. It's available to those who qualify for it. You have to qualify for freedom. The more you qualify for freedom, the more freedom you can get. And if you want to qualify for the maximum amount of freedom that a human being is created to have, then please put a limit on your freedom. You put a limit on your own freedom. When you see your freedom is too much causing trouble for you and others, you withdraw. Say, oh, that's too much freedom. I don't want all of that freedom. That's destruction I'm asking for. Then you will have not only freedom, but you will have justice. You will be a man of not only freedom, but a man of justice. So equality in original form, not wealth. And the equality is the equality of our creation. There is no equality for rich and poor. There will always be those rich than others and those having to depend on others to open the way for the wealth and material development or whatever. They will always be that. You can't change that. That is the way of creation, the way of God. So let us not follow the Western world in their thinking and put poor against rich so that the rich will be against poor. Let us condition poor to be friendly and appreciate. Be friendly with the rich and appreciate the rich so that we will have the rich not fearing us and not hating us for everything of what they have. This world wants to create the breach and keep the breach growing bigger and bigger. So if you know the guidance of God revealed to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, you want to heal the breach. Heal every breach that God did not intend to be there. And God did not intend to divide people along class lines of wealth and poverty, etc. Of those who know, the professionals, and those who don't, we are all brothers and sisters in Islam. The habit, I won't say tradition, because we are not curiously, consciously doing that. Do it, but habit has remained in Islam. When you meet with Muslims of different nationalities, different ethnic groups, different status in the society, in the world, one high, one low, one doctor, one is not, when they meet and greet each other, they are all the same. You can't tell one is the doctor, and you can't tell one has a PhD or several PhDs, and the other one does not. As long as they are brothers and they are decent by their brothers, they meet and the doctor will be speaking and looking up to the little man that has not one doctorate degree. He will look up to him because he has excellent of character, just a little bit more than the professional has. And the professional will be looking up to him and pray and praising him and saying, make dua for me, for me and my family, brother. So the Quran, Surah 40, Ayah 7, Allah embraced all things in mercy and knowledge. So when you look at the world, the word, pardon me, El Alamina, when you look at the word El Alamina, this is not the regular way you would talk about those physical objects out there. The world, it is not talking about that at all. This plural, or the plural for living things. So El Alamina is talking about the world of mankind. The Arabic grammar tells us this is the world of mankind. It is not talking about Jupiter, Mars, and all of those places up there. It is obviously the Quran is teaching us something more than that. Primitive or unenlightened man believed that those things out there was worlds. They knew it, and they believed that some god they called by some other name, maybe. But they believed that some great power made all of that out there. So that is not anything new to be given people. The Bible has that before, the Quran. And the Bible is not talking about those physical objects up there either. It's obvious that something made those physical objects. It is the world of mankind that God is talking about. Alamin means the world of mankind and knowledge. So really the word Alamin and Alam comes from the word meaning to know or knowledge. Ilm means knowledge, so the root is knowledge. The verb is to know, knowledge to have knowledge. Alamina means the world of knowledge. But look now how wonderful the revelation of the Quran is. Muhammad, the prophet, peace and peace be upon him, taught us that everything in the Quran God said, it has an easy to understand meaning. And it has a meaning that you get by enlightenment or by insight. If God is saying the world, those people who don't know Arabic grammar and who know Arabic grammar in the public, most of the people of the public don't know Arabic grammar. And the Western world, most of the people do know something about English grammar. But in the Arabic speaking world, most of their public know nothing about Arabic grammar. Only the educators know that. And they are in the small minority. Most of their people are not educated. They have a high rate of illiteracy that has survived until now. In the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the first thing he did was to start trying to get everybody to be literate. He said, whoever learns just one line or part of a line, find someone who doesn't know that and teach them. So he was trying to bring about a revolution there for education. And he required everybody to learn how to read. But centuries passed, and they lost all of that. And because of bad leaders, they don't want their people to read. Alamin is talking about living things. It is the word of the living. That is how we should understand it. He's talking about the world of the living and the people, the living human beings and the world of knowledge. Someone will say, common people will think, that it means these bodies up in the sky. That is okay, that they mean that, but the teacher should teach them the real meaning so that they will understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to see in the body up there in the sky. He wants you to see the body up in the sky as embodied science. That's why it is Alamina. It says, Wasia akuli, sharlin rahmatin wa ilmin. Translated, he encompasses all things in mercy and knowledge. Well, he has made everything to embody and communicate knowledge or science. So when he says he is Lord of all the world, God is speaking of the world in a much higher and deeper meaning. He is talking about the world as object, embodied knowledge, and science. And isn't that what happened to the Arab world of Arabia? When they were educated in the Quran, they became scientific-minded, and they started studying stars, heavens, and they gave the world, again, astronomy from the Arabic thinkers who were created this kind of thinking in the Quran. So this is what made them scientific. I was reading recently, and I have to keep mentioning this very time I gave a public address here, I mentioned it, and I read a caption in the Chicago paper, and it says, no longer can we say in religion or in the secular quarters, oil and water don't mix. And this article makes it very clear what the writer is talking about. He's talking about science and religion, or science and spiritual matter. So the water is the spiritual matter, the oil is the science. Now, if you here is correct, he is then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing the oil in the Quran, how it originated. He says, a oil of a blessed and olive. And he gives, and he goes on to explain the light, and in religious schools of Al-Islam, the science is spiritual science. It says the light are like seven, and the darkness is like seven layers, and they interrupt interpret that to mean the spiritual science. I'm sure that the Sufis brought that about. It is talking about science, period. But the oil is used because it is a liquid, and you wouldn't think of fire coming out of liquid. But some fires burn. Liquid don't burn, but some liquids do. So flame does not touch the oil. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picked this liquid, the olive oil and the olive, to talk to us about science, how it appears to be a liquid. And you wouldn't think of liquid as burning, but this liquid burns. And when you light it, it burns. And the flame separates from the substance. The flame and the substance do not touch. And you can try to yourself or look in a book that has some picture of oil burning in a book, you will see the flame is not touching the oil. There is a space between the flame and the oil. So it seems that the oil is burning, but there is a mysterious separation for the oil and the flame itself. Small particles of it that you can't see is escaping and making the flame, and that is why you see the flame and you don't see the oil touching the flame. But that is a sign, Allah's word and his creation. So I believe in these signs as much as I believe in my own life. that I'm living on this earth. The signs of God I'm talking about. Everything is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He speaks with his creation. That is how he first speaks to us. His words, his language is his creation. But you have to study his creation to get the full message or the full communication that he has given to us. Communication for our whole life, for our moral life. Communications for our rational life. Communications for your emotional life. God is communicating with his creation to give us understanding, teaching for our whole life and all of its different aspects. So the Quran, Surah 41, Ayah 6, Prophet mortal like you. So the leader don't think a mortal can bring evidence from God. They understand that knowledge can come by intellectual study, pursuit, and by contact, thus study of physical world, science, applying self-mind, if you get that way, how the next one gets it. The same way you teach him. So the Quran, Surah 41, Ayah 6. Say, Muhammad, I am a mortal like you. The Quran, Surah 8, Ayah 24. Respond to Allah. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 186. Allah hears, respond to call. The Quran, Surah 4, Ayah 59. Obey Allah, the messenger. And again, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, Prophet Muhammad, Allah says that God has obligated us to respond and accept the messenger of God when he has sent the messenger from amongst the believers. He is one of the believers. He is to come from believing people, from the people of faith, not the people who reject faith. And that is from our own selves. So he is from the believers, from themselves, from their own souls, from their own nature, from their own person. So he is like them in his nature. He is like them in his personality. He is like them in his soul. So they should recognize the kindred believer when they see him, or when they learn of him. O you who believe, respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to God. Don't be negligent, absent-minded. Don't be insensitive. Respond to Allah and to his messenger when you are called to what God, when you are called to what gives you life. And know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so close to the human person that he is as though operating between your body, yourself, and your own mortal life, lying in your heart. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayah 16. I am a mortal human like you. John 14, 10. I in you, and you in me. So Jesus was pointing to something that was their identity and reality for both himself and the people. The excellence you see in me is also in you. You have the potential. And until you come back, that excellence that God created for you and be reconciled with it, you cannot get to God. So the Quran, Surah 41, Ayah 6, I am a mortal human like you. John 10, 14, I in you and you in me. It is a type that is in all of us. So we have the same in ourselves. People thought wrongly that a man could be a human mortal, but his excellence is divine. So God wanted to kill that idea once and for all. Human like you, not like a god nor an angel. God who created everything and gave everything its constitution and its possibilities. God can teach a human person himself and qualify that person to be the teacher for all people for all time. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayat 8, God could have made man one community. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayat 10, God gave man all he needs in four periods. Four human essence is seen in fours. So we know it's not a salat, but the time of Asr prayer is a salat in a certain time, and that is between sunset and Thura. So it is at a certain time. I don't think it has a direct reference to the Asr prayer, but indirectly, yes. So it says, surely man is lost except for he who believes, has faith and good deeds, and strives to the support of truth and patience and perseverance. That is the end of that surah. So it is just telling us the virtue we need to be successful in life and how to keep the life as God wants it. And you know human essence is seen in fours. And the Quran addresses that essence over and over again. And that indirectly addresses human essence. Because when you lose our essence, that is when we lose our life. We lose everything. So it is addressing human essence, and it is addressing history, because it says, well, Asr, translated by the token of time, and some of them add down through the ages. So this is talking about difficulty times. No, because you are not praying. You are speaking. God is speaking, and when you say that, you are speaking too. So you should say at the end of that, not Ameen, but Sadaqa Allah Afim. Sadaqa Allah Afim at the end of Surah Asr. Immigrant, most do not know the religion. So these immigrants, they are bringing all these confusions into our country, America, into the Muslim community, and they don't know. Do you think they know the religion? These guys just came from poverty or struggling to get rich over their country, and they didn't make it too well over there. They see opportunity over here, and they come over here, and suddenly he thinks he can be an imam because he thinks we do not know anything about the religion. They say, we knew people. They don't know the religion. I can be an imam there. There is a dua in the Quran, and the people are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fatiha is a dua and a surah. Dua is not a salat prayer. Opinion, suffering, pardon me, opinion differing, allowing them to be expressed. So prayer in this sense is dua, right? Because if we say this and say Ameen, then it is no salat. That is a dua, right? So that is a dua. So a dua, the work, comes from the Arabic word du'a, which means to call, asking for something. Call on God for help. So if there is nothing in their calling on God for help, that is no du'a. Why is al-Fatiha a surah, but also a du'a? It asks, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide us on the right way. So the Quran opens with a chapter that is a dua, and it is a standard dua for all occasions. It opens up the Quran. So we have different opinions, and I don't discourage that. I don't discourage that. I encourage it. Even if you're wrong, if you have something to say, say it. Who knows? Maybe we are wrong. Maybe you are right. And if we can't agree, now just let it rest. see if it has the power to come back. So the Quran, Surah 42, Ayah 2, could have made man one. Organizations like the World Conference of Religion and Peace, Hope in the City, Muslim World Congress, the Muslim World League, and many others are working to bring about more desire in the top leadership for a united effort, a coalition working to support the best that is in all the people, not just in our people, in all the people, and to help each other come back to the best of what God gives us through his servants and his messengers. So this is what we are trying to do. We know we can't change each other, not at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if he had wanted us to be one people, all in one ummah, he would have made it so. But he left it like this so we would be by each other. And so that we may compete with each other in a race for all that is good, and prove ourselves before Allah. Who is the most worthy and who is not? Who is in the first class and who is in the second class? And who is in the third class and who is in no class? So we are coming to the conclusion of our time, and we have this very important announcement. Sister Claire Muhammad, pioneer Islamic education in the U.S. We are asking for donations. So far, we have raised $5,425. Has been raised. And we need another $100,000. We are asking the believers to make a donation to this great work. You can go to GoFundMe.com. The donation created by friends of Imam Donnell Kareem. Also, you can purchase his book on Sister Clara Muhammad to help raise funds for the donation. This is very important. We thank you. And always remember that now during the pandemic, we don't have the masjids full, but you can find out what's happening in the Muslim community by purchasing a subscription to the Muslim Journal. So we thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Mirage Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. We will continue this next Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Thursday at 7 p.m. Inshallah. Inshallah only means if it please God. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.